Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, April 10th, 2015. And with me today, I have my tired crew. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I am splendid.
And you sound far chipper than I bet you feel. You are such a trooper.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Also, Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have both of you, and I'm sure this is going to come as a surprise to everyone that today we'll be talking about how the Apple pre-order process went. But hey, before we hop into that, I just wanted to remind everyone that Cocotech, the people that gave us Pathfinder 7, they gave us now a discount code that you can use for the trial that you've been trying out since I was talking about them on the show a couple weeks ago. So if you go to cocotech.com, use the discount code TDO, you're going to get 25% off Pathfinder 7. So regularly $39.95 down to $29.95. So it's cool that they've been sponsoring us and decided to do that for us.
Indeed.
Yeah. Back to the Apple Watch pre-order. So we were all up in time for that to happen.
Yeah, some of us were still up.
Okay. Brian, you were still up. Dave and I got back up.
Mm-hmm. And that's correct, yeah.
And we all ordered watches. So so I picked up the 38-millimeter black Apple Watch Sport. And had my order done and completed within 5 minutes of the Apple Store opening, and I ended up with a 4 to 6 week shipping delay.
4 to 6. It sounded like you said 4 to 6.
Oh, that would be even worse. No, between 4 and 6 weeks for shipping.
Yeah. So, Dave, your shipping estimate was between April 24th and May 6th. Is that right?
May 8th. I ordered the same watch Jeff did in 42 millimeter, and I was online right away on both the Apple Store and on my iPhone in the Apple Store app. The Apple Store online kept telling me, we're not quite ready yet, we're not quite ready, and then suddenly it was ready in the Apple Store app, and I ordered it. It took all of about... I mean, it was way less than a minute because I already had the watch I wanted in my favorites. I had already synced up Apple Pay with my phone. So I, you know, all I had to do was just basically say, yeah, that's what I want. Go.
I can actually done. Specify, Dave, you finished your order at 12:05.
Okay.
And it was 12:05.
I have a confirmation that it was 3:03 a.m. that I have the, I think, right? I'm okay. Pretty sure it was before that. Yeah.
All right, well, I completed mine at 12:06, 3:03 your time because you're on the East Coast, by the way.
Correct. Yes, right. Yes, correct.
Yep. And I completed my order at 12:06. Now, I got the exact same watch that you did, the 42-millimeter version of the Space Gray watch.
Yep.
And my shipping time was May 13th to May 26th or something like that.
Interesting. So, yeah.
So in 2 minutes, they sold out of the initial inventory that they had. I guess the first four minutes.
Yeah.
And then they were at 4 to 6 weeks for products. And then it didn't take long. It was actually within 30 minutes that everything started showing up in June.
Yeah. Yeah. My order, I mean, it was about, it wasn't right at 12:01 that the store on the phone came live. It was probably 12:02 Pacific that came live. And then I ordered immediately, and yeah, my email was 3:03 a.m. Eastern, so 12:03 Pacific. So yeah,
so I was probably like right between the two of you with my order, but I ordered a different size.
You different, yeah. So it's hard to say. That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So but they'll be here in theory. Here. Yep.
Eventually. Now, please note that I had originally said I was going to get a silver, or the silver interface, the non black interface, yeah, on the Sport, and I ended up getting the black one. I had an epiphany yesterday that I have a watch with a stainless steel body.
Interesting. Yeah. I was really just trying to decide, and it was a crapshoot, and I kind of felt bad because the black ones were the ones that went the fastest. You know, even at quarter after, you could still get like a green one, and it you know, delivered by 4:24. But if you wanted the black, you know that was all done, you know, 10 minutes prior. And I sort of felt bad because I don't really care about the band color because I figure I'm going to be testing it with lots of different bands anyway, and likely won't wind up using it with the, you know, the Apple band long term. So,
well, don't think about it as the band. Think about it as the body.
Well, that's it. It didn't matter to me whether the body was silver or black. That's what I mean. It just didn't matter. But I figured, okay, well, I'll just get that one. It's fine.
Right, well, here,
it's in my cart. So
this conversation kind of it takes me to something that really began bothering me yesterday, and that was with Apple shifting to an online sales model for the Apple Watch. The company should have either let us see them in the stores a week ago, or if they weren't going to be ready to show us in the stores until yet today, mm-hmm. Apple should have given us a week before they started taking pre-orders.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I totally disagree. Because, I mean, it's a bad idea, right? From a business standpoint, to show someone a product and then say, but you can't even place an order for it yet.
You're selling that wrong. Here's the way to sell that. The way to sell that is we're going to let people come in and look at them for a week, and then we're going to take pre-orders.
And then we're going to take pre-orders? Why not? Yeah, we're going to put your name on a list and lottery you for pre-orders. I mean, you got to be able to take people's – when people are there and making the – here's the deal. Every single purchase decision that anyone ever makes, as long as they're human, is an emotional decision. Now, emotion sometimes is guided by numbers on a spreadsheet, right? Sometimes it's guided by necessity, and sometimes it's guided by what I want. But the final decision is always emotional, and it's usually many factors, some more important than others, leading to that decision to purchase. And with that, it's crazy to take an opportunity to have someone that has just felt a strong emotional connection to a product by touching it. Crazy to let that person walk out of your store without having placed an order, because there's always, you know, that feeling is going to fade.
You know what else is crazy?
What's that?
Having the most enthusiastic supporters of your brand new product all basing their purchase decision on a very personal product sight unseen. So that
No one forced us to buy watches without having worn them. And I say that, and I know, but
that's not what I said. What I said is that you're taking your most enthusiastic customers, the people that are most excited about this, mm-hmm. About the only product that Apple sells that you really need to try on first. This is a case that you were the first person to make.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You should try it on. Yeah.
And take those most enthusiastic supporters of this product that you need to try on. And then the only way those people can actually be enthusiastic supporters is to buy it without trying it on. Doesn't make any sense.
You can return it though. I mean, that's the thing is no one forced us to get up in the middle of the night and order watches. We could have waited until today. We could have gotten up in the middle of the night and scheduled our appointments, which I also did, and I'll do that in Las Vegas because I'm going to be there for NMX and NAB. So I've got that on Sunday. But you know, no one forced us to order these things last night. I could have waited until Sunday and ordered it on Sunday after I touch it. And sure, yeah, if there's going to be a little bit of a delay, and that's fine.
If you're by a little bit of delay, you mean July, or you know, by Sunday, maybe it'll be. August or September.
Could be. Yep.
You know?
Probably. Sure,
but what if all of us had
I think July is pretty safe. But yeah. I just don't think you can. I grok that you're upset about your situation.
No. It's not that at all. I don't care.
I don't even care.
I don't even care. This isn't about my choice. I mean, the three of us here sitting around this recording booth talking about this stuff, you know, we're not like everybody else in that we have to get them for our job. It's not about that either.
Right.
It's about the notion of how Apple could have let its customers make a better decision.
Well, but there's no way to. Well, so they could have forced us to only buy in the store, right? Apple is not forcing anyone, even 2 weeks from now, to try the watch on. So it's not that. It just happens that this early window of people aren't being forced to try the watch on before they buy it. It's that no one is being forced to try the watch on before they buy it. So Apple made a decision that you can order this sight unseen. And that's separate from when orders start. But of course, it informs that decision. But they could have easily last night said, okay, well, pre-orders start today and you have to have an appointment to do so. But they did not.
Yeah, that would have been a way to do it.
Of the people I've been talking with that are or did pre-order didn't seem concerned about the fact that they couldn't try it on. For them, it was a matter of what color body do I want? What material should it be made out of? And do I want the sapphire or not? And then what band?
Yep.
And then they all measured their wrists and that was it. It didn't seem to concern them at all.
They don't know that they should be concerned,
there is that.
And here's the thing. I think a lot of them – I mean, remember, we're talking about a product category that includes, you know, probably is the most popular smartwatch is the Pebble, right? You couldn't try that on either. You ordered that – I mean, sight unseen is the wrong word, but wrist unworn, right?
The Pebble's not being sold as a piece of jewelry either.
Yeah, you know, okay.
Apple is doing this whole watch thing.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you're talking about this product that I think a lot of people are going to get it and put it on their wrists. And also you're right that Apple is aiming to make the watch a piece of jewelry. But it is not going to be – just because that's Apple's goal, it is not going to be that for the lion's share of the early adopters. The people that truly want to treat it as a piece of jewelry will treat the whole purchase process differently than the gadget freaks. And so the people that are gadget freaks are going to get these things and they're going to put them on, just like the people who bought the Pebble got them and put them on. It's a horribly uncomfortable piece of equipment. It's too light. It's a little bit clunky. It's got, you know, sharp corners on it. And no one cares enough because they're not thinking of it as, oh, this is a piece of jewelry. They're thinking of it as this is a cool piece of technology that I want to use. And so I think you're projecting Apple's wishes of their product experience onto people that will not experience the product that way, no matter which one they get.
Well, that's kind of my job, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I do a lot of projecting, you know.
Yeah, but it's just Apple does too, right? That's their job is to create this whole experience beyond just whatever piece of tech you have, hardware or software. But there's going to be a lot of people that look ridiculous wearing whichever Apple Watch they ordered last night. And we may be among them. Well, yeah, so there's going to be a lot of people that look ridiculous, and some of them will know and either address it or not. But a lot of them, you know, a lot of people are going to have ordered that watch with the Milanese Loop bracelet, and most people are going to look ridiculous with that bracelet on. But they're going to love it anyway. And there's no accounting for taste.
I don't
say that to be a pompous jerk, even though that's exactly what I'm being. It's just how people are going to experience this product. You're buying into Apple's full vision of how they want to market this, and that's great. But most early adopters won't.
So on the one hand, you're wrong, and that's fine. But on the other hand, I think it is the most fair thing to concede that the way I wish Apple had done it comes with its drawbacks, and the way Apple did it comes with drawbacks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think of the two options. The one they went with is probably the better overall, because this way they get to capitalize on the emotional part of making a purchase. Whereas if we all go in and try them on, and then a week later we get to make a purchase, I think there are fewer people that would actually follow through.
Nah, Apple still would have sold through its initial. Listen, there would have been a rush of people to the Apple stores because everybody would have been saying, oh my goodness, I want to try this thing on before, you know, I can see which one I want before I get it. And when there would have been a whole different kind of excitement in the week leading up to these pre-orders.
I think
it could have been a thing. Apple could have made it an event.
They could have, but I think they would have sold less. The emotional draw.
Yeah.
And this way, yes, there are people that are going to go and try them on after purchasing or after pre-ordering and then cancel their order. But it's actually not going to be the same as if everyone tried them on and then a bunch of people said, yeah, I'm not going to buy it.
Dave, you said Apple would have sold less, and that's not the case. Apple still would have sold through its early inventory.
You're right. No, I get that. But they in the long run, they would have sold less.
But that – what? Back that up.
Sure. Okay. So there's the people that ordered last night that once mm-hmm. they try a watch on and experience it and all that, would not buy one, right? I mean, there's more to the try-on process than just which one fits me best. It's show me the watch. Teach me how to use it, right? There are people that will do that and say, yeah, you know what? It's cool, but – no thanks. And that ordered them last night, guaranteed. But a lot of those people are going to get it and not return it, right? So instantly you've got extra sales with those people.
But so now you're still having some of your early sales go to people that aren't going to be happy with their decision.
Right, but and then there's all the people that are going to come in and try the watch on that are going to like it and are going to order it, and you get to add those to it as opposed to having those fill in the gaps for the people that did not want it.
Dave, what about the psychological advantage of having everyone who got one at first talking about how awesome it is versus having a subset of people who got them first talking about how awesome it is?
Doesn't matter. I mean,
because
it's a better psychological advantage to do it this way. Totally, they'll sell more. Absolutely, because it's a gadget. It's not a piece of jewelry to everybody. I think for a lot of people, this will be something they buy, and in 3 months it's in the drawer. Not for everybody. And the percentage there is the important thing. But I think for a lot of people it's gonna be, yeah, I don't wear it anymore.
I think Apple could have had a higher percentage if they'd done it my way. With these early orders.
Yeah, higher percentage, less sales. Correct.
No, but all of the sales would have still happened. Everything that Apple can make for the next 3 or 4 months still would have sold.
Right. But that's irrelevant. Apple doesn't care about 3 months worth of sales when they look at a year's worth of sales.
Well, then why are you arguing that the extra sales in the first hours somehow matter? Because that doesn't. It's the big picture that matters, and having satisfied customers with these watches on their wrists, that is what is going to make the difference 6 months, a year, 2 years from now.
Right. And all of those people are going to have the opportunity to go in the store and try it on. We're only talking about the people that ordered in the first hour.
And those people are a subset.
Really. That's it. Yeah. It's an irrelevant subset, and yet it's one that will put more money in Apple's pocket in the long run.
I believe that's the part that I think is illogical. I think it'll put less money in Apple's pocket.
It's worked for every other product they have. People buy iPhones.
Apple Watch is not every other product.
For those people that bought in the first hour, it is no different.
That's a good point.
That's my point.
I agree with you on that. Bought in the first hour,
this
is the next cool iPhone thing.
For us, it is no different, right? We have to have it. Yeah, for our jobs. But no. We are that subset that has to have it for our jobs. There are plenty of people that have to have it because it's the new thing Apple released. That's it. That's the only reason.
And how those people talk about this product will influence sales.
Yeah, so they're going to love it.
It's maximizing the same as they're going to love the iPhone. No, but we, okay, you and I both independently came up with the reality that the Apple Watch, the way the Apple Watch is going to hit people is going to be much more akin to the iPad than the iPhone.
Correct. Correct. In that it's a product that Apple has to convince people. The iPhone was a product category that people knew they needed. They just didn't necessarily like the products that existed. The tablet and the smartwatch were categories that people still need to be convinced they need. And Apple did succeed with that with the iPad. Too well, almost, right? I mean, people got their iPads and don't get rid of them, and so Apple doesn't sell a whole lot more. But and the Apple and the watch is in that category. But for the people that bought in the first hour, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's two different sets of customers. It just doesn't matter. It's like, you know, it's like Bill Murray said, if God came down from heaven above and pointed his finger at us and said, "We're the ones."
All right,
we don't matter.
Listeners, what do you think? You let us know. Did Dave? Neither Dave nor Jeff changed my mind. I clearly didn't change their mind. So, what do you think about it?
Yes, please let us know.
Where do they write us?
Yeah. Oh, that's easy. They can leave comments in the show notes, mm-hmm. which are always available on our website. They can let us know on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily, mm-hmm. and then they can also send us emails to observation. What is it?
Easy for you to say. Observations at MacObserver.com.
Thank you. Clearly, I did not get enough sleep last night.
And if you want to let me know how right I am, I'm TM O'Brien on Twitter. And if you want to let Dave and Jeff know how wrong they are, Dave, what, you're at Dave Hamilton?
Yeah, I'm at Dave Hamilton. Yeah.
And at Jay Gamet.
And I'm at Jay Gamet.
Yeah.
And listeners, thank you for being here with us today. Oh, by the way, that was my passive aggressive way of letting you guys know we ran out of time. we're out of time. Brian, Dave, thank you so much for being here today. And especially after we had to give up so much of our precious beauty sleep, which I certainly need, to be able to pre-order our Apple Watches. And we'll see everyone again on Monday.